Stamp duty land tax, SDLT, is charged on land transactions. A land transaction includes the acquisition of an interest in or over land in the UK. The most obvious examples are the sale of freehold land and the assignment or grant of a lease. A person who acquires an interest in land is called the purchaser. A person who disposes of an interest in land is called the vendor. These expressions apply even if there is no consideration for the transaction. The purchaser is responsible for making a land transaction return to HMRC. The purchaser will also pay the stamp duty land tax. Normally, the purchase of land is a two-stage process. First, the parties enter into a contract. Usually, the purchase is then concluded by completion, at which point title to the land passes to the purchaser and he enters into occupation of the land. A person is not regarded as entering into a land transaction simply by entering into a contract. If the transaction proceeds to completion, the contract and completion are treated as a single land transaction. In this case, the effective date of the transaction is treated as the date of completion. The effective date is important for the administration of SDLT. If the contract is substantially performed without having been completed, for example, if the purchaser is allowed to occupy the property before title passes, the contract is then treated as being the effective date of the land transaction. The tax rate and payment threshold can vary according to whether the property is in residential or non-residential use and whether it is a freehold or leasehold. Where a lease is granted, there are two potential elements which are chargeable to SDLT: the premium payable and the rent payable during the term of the lease. Leases are discussed below. The table in front of you applies for all freehold residential purchases and transfers, and the premium paid for a new lease or the assignment of an existing lease. If the property will be used for both residential and non-residential purposes, the rates differ. We'll discuss this later. The £175,000 threshold shown in the table applies from the 3rd of September 2008 until the 31st of December 2009 inclusive. The new threshold means that disadvantaged areas relief, previously available for properties in areas designated as disadvantaged, does not apply during this period. If the value is above the payment threshold, SDLT is charged at the appropriate rate on the whole of the amount paid. For example, a house bought for £180,000 is charged at 1%, so £1,800 must be paid in SDLT. A house bought for £350,000 is charged at 3%, so SDLT of £10,500 is payable. By way of an example, Mr. A has two houses to sell. He is selling Red Roof to Miss B for £100,000. He is also selling Green Acres to Mr. C for £275,000. From the table, you'll see that Miss B's purchase falls within the zero rate band, and so there is no SDLT payable on her purchase. This does not mean that the transaction is exempt from SDLT. Miss B will still have to make a land transaction return to HMRC, and HMRC may make inquiries about the return. For example, it may require further evidence about the transaction to make sure that the zero rate is applicable. Mr. C's purchase falls within the 3% band, and so he is liable to pay SDLT of £275,000 at 3%, which comes to £8,250. Now let's consider SDLT rates for non-residential or mixed-use properties. There are different thresholds for residential and non-residential property. Residential property is defined in Section 116 of Finance Act 2003, and non-residential property is any property that is not residential property. Mixed-use property is treated in the same way as non-residential property. In most cases, it will be clear which category the land falls within. For example, a factory is clearly non-residential. However, if you are in any doubt, refer to the definition in FA 2003. Non-residential property includes commercial property such as shops or offices, agricultural land, forests, any other land or property which is not used as a dwelling, six or more residential properties bought in a single transaction. A mixed-use property is one that incorporates both residential and non-residential elements. The table shown on your screen applies for freehold and leasehold non-residential and mixed-use purchases and transfers. If the transaction involves the purchase of a new lease with a substantial annual rent, there may be an additional SDLT charge based on the rent. Annual rent is determined by the average ascertainable rent each year. Rent is ascertainable if you know you are going to have to pay at least this amount for the year. For example, 1. If the rent you have to pay depends entirely on the turnover of your business, then there is no ascertainable rent as there is no amount you know you will have to pay. 2. If the rent you have to pay depends on the turnover of your business and you have a minimum amount you have to pay, the minimum rent due is the ascertainable rent. 3. If the rent you have to pay is a fixed amount plus an amount based on the percentage of turnover, the ascertainable rent is the fixed amount you have to pay excluding any percentage amount. 4. If your rent is fixed or any increases in the rent are known from the outset, the ascertainable rent is the amount known from the outset. Average annual rent is calculated by adding all the ascertainable rent together and dividing it by the term of the lease. There are also different thresholds for property in disadvantaged areas. You should be told in the exam whether this relief applies. Disadvantaged areas relief, whereby residential properties bought in areas designated by the government as disadvantaged had a higher SDLT threshold of £150,000, will not apply for residential-only property purchases between the 3rd of September 2008 and the 31st of December 2009 inclusive. Instead, the SDLT threshold will be the same as for all other residential property. The only exception is where the lease is for less than 21 years and the transaction takes place before the 22nd of April 2009. Some property transactions in a disadvantaged area may have both residential and non-residential parts, e.g. a shop with a flat above. In this case, the temporary £175,000 threshold between the 3rd of September 2008 and the 31st of December 2009 inclusive does not apply. For SDLT purposes, the property value is apportioned on a fair and reasonable basis between the two uses. If the amount attributed to the residential element does not exceed £150,000, then disadvantaged areas relief will apply to that element and a separate £150,000 threshold applies to the non-residential element. A land transaction is a chargeable transaction for SDLT unless it falls within a specific exemption. The most important exemptions are in Schedule 3 FA 2003 and include 1. Transactions where there is no chargeable consideration for the disposal, for example a gift. 2. Transactions in connection with divorce. 3. Variations of wills after death. No land transaction return is required if one of the above exemptions apply. SDLT as a percentage of chargeable consideration. The chargeable consideration for a transaction is usually the consideration given for the land transaction in money or money's worth, directly or indirectly by the purchaser or a person connected with him. Other types of chargeable consideration included the assumption of an existing debt, for example, a mortgage, by the purchaser, or carrying out works on the land or providing services. Consideration includes any VAT chargeable on the transaction, except if the vendor has the option to charge VAT but has not elected to do so by the date of the transaction. If the receipt of the consideration is postponed, for example, sum is payable by installments, no discount is given for that postponement. A vendor and a purchaser may decide to swap or exchange pieces of land. The general rule is that if two pieces of land are exchanged, there'll be two separate SDLT transactions. The chargeable consideration for each transaction is the market value of the land acquired by each purchaser, and SDLT will be payable accordingly. There are special reliefs for certain exchanges of residential property, which we will not go into here. Contingent consideration is consideration which is dependent on the happening of some uncertain future event. A common example with land is where consideration for the purchase of land is dependent on planning permission being granted. By way of an example, Michael owns 2 acres of land. A developer, Mr. Darwin, agrees to buy the land. Mr. Darwin will pay £200,000 for the land, plus contingent consideration of £100,000 if planning permission to build 4 houses is granted within a certain time. For SDLT purposes, it's assumed that the contingency will be satisfied, and so the chargeable consideration will be £300,000. Mr. Darwin will be required to pay SDLT on this amount in the normal way, and will therefore pay £300,000 at 3%, being £9,000. However, Mr. Darwin can apply to defer payment of the tax if the contingent consideration is payable more than 6 months after the effective date of the transaction.